Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
Amen. Okay, so we are talking on a subject today that we did not advertise because nobody would show up. It's on unforgiveness. Yay! I'm not getting no claps. And so this is actually such, I believe, a humongous lesson in the kingdom of heaven, because it is a key to unlocking heaven in our hearts. It's a key to unlocking heaven over our finances, over our relationships, over our marriages, over our health. There are so many things connected to us walking in forgiveness in our everydays that God wants us to get a grip, to get a hold on this, and to switch our hearts today. So today, you may be challenged. When we're speaking about things, when things are happening, you might be challenged as we go through these notes. But what I want you to do is keep an open heart to what the Holy Spirit wants to show and reveal to you. Because we've been talking about flourish. In order for us to flourish, we cannot stay the same. In order for us to grow and expand and become something beautiful, which you are the most beautiful women in the world. Did you know that? You don't feel that way, maybe, but God says you are. And God had created you, put you on this earth for a reason. You have a purpose. You have a destiny. But if we're not flourishing in what God has accomplished for us and what he's done for us, then we might be failing in some areas in life. You might feel like a failure as a mom. Like, I'm just not good enough. I don't know if I'm doing this thing right. My kids aren't like so-and-so's kids, and you're comparing. Maybe your marriage doesn't look like what you wanted it to look like, and you got into this marriage, and now you're going, how did I get here? How did we end up like this? We're strangers living in a house together as roommates. Maybe your finances are not what you had hoped and dreamed. You went to college, you worked your butt off, and then now you're struggling to make ends meet. How come that's not the American promise? They said, if I go to college, I'll get a great job. You see, we don't know what happens in life, but life fails many times and in many places. But the one thing that we can control, the one thing that we can guard is our hearts. And so when those things happen, those tragedies, those heartbreaks, those disappointments, the rejection from people, the rejection from life, then guess what happens? We have a responsibility as the women of God's house. And we have to look at our hearts and go, am I all right? Is my heart where it should be? Is it in a clean place? Is it where God can still move even though I'm in a traumatic situation? Am I in a place where I can hear God because I need to hear his voice on a daily basis and it's everything to me? So we have to put ourselves in a position to walk in forgiveness. Unforgiveness does so many detrimental things to our heart. It weakens us. It brings us to places of despair that you never wanted to go. You will live in that valley bottom floor forever if you don't deal with unforgiveness. You will have one relationship bad and then another relationship bad and another relationship bad because you never forgave a long time ago and you now do not know how to do relationships the right way. And you think it's everyone else, but maybe it actually started way back when you wouldn't forgive. You see, God's going to show us what to do so that our hearts become healthy into the presence of God. And so I found a video that was a perfect intro for what we're talking about today. So pay attention to the overhead screens.
What happens if you forgive? Many of us are being hindered from our destiny because we're being held hostage by a leash around our souls called unforgiveness. And that leash keeps jerking us back. Maybe you were forsaken, neglected. It could be a multitude of things. Whatever it is, though, it's holding you hostage. Are you still seeking revenge? Today we want to see you set free. Nothing, and I mean nothing, will hinder you arriving at God's destiny for you like unforgiveness. Forgiveness, it is a decision to no longer credit an offense against an offender. Doesn't excuse it. It doesn't say you ignore it. I'm saying you have a providentially sovereign God who can overrule it and fulfill his purposes in spite of it and, in fact, use it for where he's taking it. See, when you have a view of God that he even uses the mess that messed over you to take you to your destiny, it enables you to help the guilty people to forgive themselves, because God used their wrong to promote you to where he wanted you to be. I forgive so that I can move on. So don't let the fact that the person who has hurt you has neither asked for forgiveness, desired forgiveness, because you're not willing to be held hostage to the offense. And therefore, by an act of your decision, you release them so you can keep going to your destiny.
So good. So, so good. So forgiveness is the key to our freedom. How many of you want to be free today? Amen. So it's all about forgiveness in the kingdom of heaven, and it's a process to cultivate our hearts. Girls, you're going to find yourself in a position where you're like, whoa, I did not do that right. How many of us have walked into a situation and you walk away going, I could have handled that differently? So many times. And if you're saying, nope, never, then we'll pray for you afterwards, because if we were not willing to look at ourselves today and say, you know what, I have a piece in this as well. And God wants to do some things. I remember when I was younger, I was that little girl that would just forgive anyone and anything. Like I had just childlike faith, and when people would do something to me, I'd be like, it's fine, no problem, and then I would forget about it. But as I've gotten older, I notice it's not as easy to just be like, it's fine, forget about it. I'm a little bit more opinionated about the situation. I understand probably a little bit more about what was going on around me, and I have found it harder to release the unforgiveness, because honestly, I'm the person that's like, justice. I want justice in this situation, you know? And then in that, I find myself locking myself up in my own prison, because I'm demanding justice. And so in my justice moment, I've now not bound someone else, but bound myself in unforgiveness. And so the Lord has walked me through so many steps of learning how to look at myself, look at my heart, deal with some things, work it out, girlfriend, because I need you, and you've got to work this out. You've got to make this right. And so many times, the Lord has spoken to my heart, and I'll be like, ooh, I need to change. I need to go back and apologize. And you go back, and you make it right. But listen, today, we're going to walk through some steps. We're going to look and dig deep into what the Word of God says about these things. So you guys ready? You have your little notebooks. How many of you do not have a notebook and would like one? Ushers, can you look around? Keep your hands up so we can get those notebooks to you, okay? We gave them away in the very beginning. You can write your lessons in them. They're just something very simple for you to write notes on today so you don't forget. All right, so keep your hands up. They'll get to you as soon as they can. Okay, forgiveness. Guess what it means? It means to pardon and to spare someone, to relieve someone of a burdensome offense. Ooh, some of us don't want to do that. The benefit of forgiveness, you want to know the benefits of forgiveness? Do you want to know why it works for you and why it works for the girl next to you? Okay, so when we forgive, forgiving our offenders releases us from God's judgment. Woo! You see, God talks about this, that if you don't forgive others, he can't forgive you. In Mark 11:25, in the New Living Translation, it says, but when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against. So God is saying in this, don't come to me with your offenses and not choose to make it right before you and I have a conversation and you need something from me. You know why he says that? Because he forgave you. So he expects that what he did for you, that you can give the grace to do it for someone else. And then you can have a clear line of communication, you and God. And then it says, first, forgive anyone that you are holding a grudge against so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. I don't know about you, but every day I need to be forgiven. Every day I mess up, okay? You go, but you're a pastor. Yeah, I'm a pastor that messes up. I'm very human. I'm very normal, okay, girls? I go to the bathroom like you do. I sweat the same as you do. I yell at my children like you do. I think bad thoughts about things, and I'm like, oh, that's not right. I need to get that right. I need to line that back up with God's word. You see, I need God's grace in my life just as much as you do. And we cannot afford to go out in life and sin and do the things that are unpleasing to the Holy Spirit and be in unforgiveness. Because then when we go to the throne room and ask for forgiveness for those things, God's going, well, wait a second, what about you? You're not making this right with so-and-so. You're keeping aught in your heart and you're offended. And it's turning into a root of bitterness. So forgiving releases us from God's judgment. Number two, forgiving forgiving ourselves, this one's a big one. Forgiving yourself, right away you're like turning off. Nope, I'm good. Forgiving ourselves removes guilt and shame and enables us to receive God's best. You see, I talked about holding myself in my own prison. I was very good at that because I tend to be a people pleaser. I want to make sure everyone is happy around me. And then if they're not happy, it determines if I'm happy. So if they're not satisfied or if I find some unsatisfaction with someone in my life, I at times will go into a sadness about it and try and figure out how can I fix this. But what I have found that is not what I need to be doing as a godly woman. What I need to be doing is being a God pleaser and not a people pleaser. But in that people pleasing, I have bound myself into prisons. And in your unforgiveness, you bind yourself in a prison and you can't get out because all you see is yourself in that prison. There's no one else in there with you. You, yourself, and I, and you have to deal with you. And I believe that God wants to do something, and he wants you to begin to the process of forgiving yourself. This was the hardest thing for me. I was abused. I was abused not by my parents. Okay, they were wonderful. But I had a boyfriend that abused me. For 3 years, I was mentally and physically abused. And I almost died several times. And in this process, I lost myself. I didn't know who I was. I just couldn't even look out a window without getting knocked out when we were in the car. I mean, there were intense things that were going on. And I remember coming out of that relationship so broken. And I didn't even hate him for it. I was able to forgive him. But you know who I couldn't forgive? Myself. Because I knew better. I knew better to not go after a guy like that. I knew what God had done for me, yet I still was in that relationship. I knew better, and so I couldn't get past me. And how stupid are you, Jess? How dumb are you? Why did you make these decisions? And the Lord sat with me one day, and he said, "We can't go any further until you start to begin the process of forgiving yourself." And I remember the journey. It was hard, and I was like, "But God, I'm so unworthy." He said, "It doesn't matter. I've already gone to the cross for that. Your shame, you carry it like it's your badge of honor. It's not a badge of honor. Take the shame off and put the righteousness of God on." And I began to go through this process of healing. And as I began to forgive myself, I saw the light again. I began to have conversations and clarity in life. I began to see direction again. I began to be free. And there was like these open doors to really broken places that were always so closed and so in prison. You see, God wants you to be free from guilt and shame. So today might be a day of beginning to forgive yourself. Because we can be our own worst enemies. We can beat ourselves up the worst, girls. You can tell yourself how ugly you are. You can tell yourself how you're not a good mom. You can tell yourself how you're not a good wife. You're a bad student. You're a bad daughter. Whatever. But what if God says, "Would you stop it?" You're speaking those things out of your mouth over your life, and you're not speaking life over yourself. And it's time to start changing how we see ourselves. And it's time to start forgiving ourselves. Okay? So today, let's get free of some of that. The other thing is forgiveness empowers us to reach and love others with the true love of Christ. What does that mean? It means that when I truly forgive someone, that when I see them again, the first thing I think about is not what they did to me or what they didn't do to me or for me, right? Or how they wronged me. The first thing I think about is, "Oh, look, they're so-and-so. Let me give them a hug." And you can be free of that bondage of their offense towards you. You see, the enemy will do everything possible to bring it up and bring it up and bring it up and bring it up. And he'll bring it back while you're laying your head in bed at night. And you, "Why did they say that? That's so messed up. I would never have done that to them." And you'll go through these scenarios in your head. You'll think, "That was so wrong. That is just ungodly." Then you'll pull a scripture out. I mean, it's literally, you take your brain to places it should not go. And all of a sudden, you find yourself pretty mad again at the person. Well, then you truly haven't released the love of God on that situation. You truly haven't released, and that could be a really good sign for you today, that if you find yourself just always going back to that same thing, I'm going to teach you how to overcome that, okay? Because we don't need to stay there. Those are places of not freedom, but the benefit of overcoming it is that you will truly be able to love people without resentment. You will truly be able to love people through God's eyes. Ephesians 4:31-32, it says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. I think when God is talking about this, he's not like, don't fake forgive. Does anybody know what fake forgive is? Like, I forgive you, but then they're still like, oh, they're so stupid. I just, you know what? They think we're good, but I'm still irritated with them. There's still something in your heart towards them. And God is going, that ain't forgiveness. You just now re-put yourself back in prison, and you are not operating under my authority or my ways. Let's forgive people the way God has asked us to forgive. And honestly, girls, the way God forgave us. That's what he's asking. Now, reasons why we may not be open to forgiving. Do you want to look at some of these? This is going to be like the, ooh. Because you might identify with this and go, totally, I get that. Okay? We may think that forgiveness is agreeing with the offender's behavior. That's a valid concern for not forgiving, right? We may believe that the person who hurt us doesn't deserve forgiveness. Well, guess what? Neither do you. Of course they don't. None of us deserve forgiveness but God, right? We fear the discomfort of revisiting memories and past wounds. We don't want to go there. They're okay locked up in my little, like, I don't remember everything moments. And I'm okay living in that space because I've moved on and I've learned how to do life not going back and opening up some of these places. But what if God says, you haven't been doing life really great, actually. You think you have, but you haven't. Because you won't go back and fix that so that you can be truly free in every area of your life. You see, God doesn't want us just some free, partly free, half free. God wants us completely free. God wants us completely open book, ready to do what he needs us to do, because that's what he paid a price for us. And so sometimes that's why we choose not to forgive. We may think that forgiveness means to reconcile. Listen, reconciling is one thing, but it can't always be that way. There are healthy boundaries. They talk about this in Breaking Free. I'm promoting Breaking Free 100%. If you are enjoying this, you need to go to that because it's going to go deeper. It's going to walk you through things that you need to take to further places. But there are relationships I have had in life. I'll use the abusive relationship that I lived in. I was able to forgive him. I was able to forgive myself. And I was able to move on in life. And truly, I don't wish one bad thing on that person. I pray he got saved and his life was changed. And that he found God. Because that's what he needs. And I can truly say that I don't want anything bad to happen. But can I say I want to be in relationship or talking or chummy again? No way. Like, there are healthy boundaries. You don't get to come into my space anymore. This is a holy ground. I need to stay healthy. Like, you know, we can appreciate and pray for each other, but you don't have to come into my world and mess around with things again. Okay? So there are healthy boundaries. Maybe you have some abusers that you did forgive and you forgave you, but they walk into a room and you're like, ugh, you know, and you just get all creeped out. Well, guess what? If he walked through the church at the door, I'd be creeped out too, and I'd probably have to hold Pastor Dan back. I'd probably never see him beat up anyone except for that guy. And so he's writing a letter, don't worry. And Grammy Sue too. Grammy Sue and Dan would attack him for me. No. So what I'm saying is that we don't want to put you in a position that's not safe, okay? We don't want to put you back in a position that is unhealthy and ungodly. So forgiving someone does not always mean that you reconcile exactly with that person, but you forgive them and you release them, and they go on with their lives, you go on with your lives, you keep healthy boundaries around you and your family, and you make sure you're safe. Okay, do we get that, girls? Okay. Our flesh finds satisfaction, ooh, get this one, ready? In our hateful thoughts or actions. Nobody wants to admit that one. Can I get a show of hands? That's like, yes, no, totally. I love to just, no, I'm just kidding. You wish ill will on this person because you're so angry, you know. But really, That is, where's that coming from in our hearts? Where is that place in our hearts that God is going, that's okay, it's fine. You could go ahead and think that way towards someone. No, God's not doing that. He's saying that's not okay. You got to fix that. So we need to be honest with ourselves, girls. We need to allow God to deal with us so that we can work these things out so that we can be all that God has made us to be. Because God has made you to be amazing, wonderful, blessed, anointed, highly favored. That's who you are. If you're not walking in it yet, that's okay. We're going to get you there. All right? What are the consequences of unforgiveness? We're going to read it out of the word. You ready? Matthew 18. Go with me there. Matthew 18. What are the consequences of unforgiveness? God talks about this all over his word. He's very serious about keeping our hearts in this. Because he wants us to be free, he wants us to progress, he wants us to live out our destinies, but without walking in forgiveness, we will not meet our destinies. We will not go there. Verse 18, we're going to read a lot of verses. Are you guys ready? Okay. All right. Assuredly, I say unto you, whatever you bind on earth will be loosed in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Remember that verse, girls. And again, I say unto you that if two of you agree on earth overcoming anything, that you will ask and it will be done for you like your Father in heaven, for whom the two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. I wanted to read these verses because that's power, right? We love these scriptures. Like, ooh, girl, let's pray because we know heaven's going to come down on our behalf. So God tells us what is a beautiful benefit of praying together and believing together and doing life together, right? But listen, God doesn't break this up into chapter and verse. He goes right into the parable of the unforgiving servant. So he's saying all of that is good, but not unless you do this. You ready? Then Peter came to him and he said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me that I will forgive him? Up to seven times, Jesus said to him. I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle these accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. I looked this up. A talent was equivalent to like $1 million nowadays. That's crazy, right? So can you imagine? This is a great, now remember, this is a parable. All right, so God is making a humongous point here. Verse 25, but as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and his children and all that he had, and the payment may be, until the payment was made. Verse 26, the servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of the servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him of this debt. But the servant went out and he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, which was not anywhere near $1 million, all right? And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. Verse 29, so his fellow servant fell down at his feet, begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Verse 30, and he would not, but he went and he threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told the master all that had been done. Then the master, let me just tell you right now, your sins will always find you out. I'm going to just say that's like a side note. That was for free. So if you are being greedy and grimy, the enemy, you will not be able to continue on. The Holy Spirit will reveal it. All right, moving on. Okay, verse 31. So when the fellow servants saw it and had been done, they're very grieved, and they told the master all that had been done. Verse 32, then the master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Should you not have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him from torturers until he should pay all the debt. And so my heavenly Father will also do to you if each of you from your heart does not forgive his brother of his trespasses. Woo! So the consequences are you bind the one you don't forgive and you bind yourself. I know it's been said that when you forgive, the other person moves on. But can I be honest? I've been on the other end of this. And you don't just move on. When you can't make it right and you want to make it right, but you can't control someone else's heart, it's sad. It's a hard place to just be in. You actually are bound by their unforgiveness. You know, that saying where, like, they're free, they're out doing their own thing, they don't care. No, that's not true, because when you truly love someone and there's been a breach and the enemy has come in to bring deception and brokenness and you try and make it right and that person doesn't want to make it right, guess what happens? You are actually bound because you love them. You're connected to them. You want to make things right, right? So that person is bound, the one who doesn't get to be, like, forgiven. But then you also bind yourself. You put yourself in prison. But the verses before, what did it say? Whatever you bind on earth, it will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven when two or more of you come together. So girls, what I'm hearing here is that unforgiveness binds us here on earth, but forgiveness releases us in heaven. And so I'm going to then go to the throne room, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to get some of the closest people I trust and say, this broken place that I'm in, I need you to help me pray for these people, because I need prayer. I'm feeling bound by this, but I need to be loosed. I need this to be broken off of me. I need heaven to break open over this situation, because I don't know how to fix it anymore. You see, the power of God comes in and fixes those things when a person is open and willing to give compassion and forgiveness to another person. And so, girls, I don't want to be bound, and I don't want to bind someone else because I'm in unforgiveness, right? So, did you get something from that? All right. Now, this brings me all to this. I don't want to tell you all this and tell you not how to do it. How do I forgive then? You ready for the very simple steps of the beginning of the forgiveness process? Number one, you have to make a daily choice. Sometimes it'll be an hourly choice, okay? So you just have to choose, I'm going to forgive. Luke 17, 3-4 says, so watch yourselves. Ooh, that doesn't even talk about the other person. That's talking about you again. Wait a second. Do you see the theme here? God isn't going after the one that offended you. He's talking to you. Watch yourself. Watch yourself. If another believer sins, rebuke that person. Now listen, I'm not asking you to go out and be Jesus right now and go tell your whole neighborhood they're on their way to hell, because that's not going to win them over. But in a close relationship, you love someone, you see them going down the wrong path, and you have the ability to speak into their life. You have a responsibility as a Christian to say, you're doing this wrong. I'm seeing some things that seem very unhealthy, and I'm concerned for you. I love you. I'm not saying this to offend you, but somebody needs to love you enough to say, there's some patterns here that aren't right or aren't healthy, right? Now, you're going to get one of two things. They're going to be like, hey, screw you. Like, get out of here. And they're going to cuss you out, and they're going to tell you to get out of their life. It's the worst situation ever. That's the most heartbreaking moment, because then you're like, I shouldn't have said anything. And then you're like feeling bad, right? Like, but no, girlfriend, if you were saying what was right and righteous before God, it's going to be okay, because somebody needed to tell them the truth, right? Or you're going to have the opposite situation in this. They're going to go, thank you. Thanks for caring enough to point this out, because I did not see this about myself or about this person in my life that's pulling me away from God. Like, I didn't see this. So thank you for saying something. So girls, this is what the Bible says. Okay? Then it says, rebuke that person. And then if there is repentance, what are we supposed to do? Forgive, right? Even if that person wrongs you 7 times in a day and each time turns again and asks for forgiveness, you must forgive. My son, I love him so much, and he has like the conscience of like, I just love it. So he'll get mad, and then he comes and he's, I'm sorry, Mom. So then he does something, and then he gets mad. Mom, I'm sorry. It's like, I forgive you, I forgive you. There has been days that it was like, I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you, right? But it would be, what kind of mom would I be like? I'm sick of forgiving you. Would you just stop like that? You know, I'm like, no. Because then the next day, you know what happens? He doesn't have to say sorry as much, because he knows he can be safe with me, and he knows that he's in a safe place, but I'm going to call him out on his sin. I'm not going to let him get away with that. And even though he said some things that hurt my heart, because do you have kids that can do that? I remember one time I was so mad at my mom as a teenager, and I was so mad at her, I just screamed at her. I said, I hate you. And I meant it. Like, I really felt that way in that moment. And I remember she just cried, turned around, and walked out the door. And then we made things right later on in life. But I'll tell you, not until I was probably in my 20s, I wrote her a humongous letter. Because I was like, I'm so sorry. It's when Chloe was born. I'm so sorry. How can you ever have been okay with me for doing this to you? And she was like, honey, I forgave you a long time ago. No, it's fine. You were a teenager. Teenagers do dumb things, you know? And so it was wonderful that she forgave me. And that's what God is talking about here. One time I found myself very frustrated in the middle of the night. And this individual that I knew just kept doing things. Have you ever had someone in your life that you're like, again? Like, I already dealt with that. I already wrote a letter. I already did it all. Again? And it was just like a buffeting. And it was like God was testing me. Like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Where's your heart going to stay? And so I was up and I was complaining to God and I was like, can we just talk about this? I was in bed. It was one of those cold nights, and I was really cozy. And he was like, no, we're not talking about this. You need to go journal. And I'm like, no. That means I got to get out of bed. That means that I got to, like, slow down, but my thoughts are taking me 50 places. Come on, God, let's talk about this. He's like, no, go journal. And so I got out of bed, and I go into my closet, and I have my little space that I'm in, and I start journaling, and you know what happened in that moment? My mind had to slow down because my hand could not keep up with all of my thoughts, and I couldn't go off on tangents. I had to stay on the one actual issue, and God helped me just write out what was going on, and it wasn't even an unforgiveness thing. It was just, I was hurt. It was just a hurt thing, and I had to release the hurt. It wasn't even unforgiveness because I loved that person. I already had forgiven them. And so sometimes just that journaling process will help you in your daily choice to forgive. Sometimes you need to set yourself aside. Listen to me. If you have your prayer language, get in the car, take a drive, and pray in the Spirit. Because it will just release all that stress and that pressure. Sometimes I take the long way home after a hard day. Sometimes I sit in my garage after a long day. Ask my mother-in-law. She's probably like, where is she? She drove up a long time ago. I'm praying things out because I don't want to go in with it. But my kids have now learned to come out to the garage. I'm like, go away. Like, hi, Mom. What are you doing? Nothing. So do whatever you got to do, but make a daily choice to forgive 70 times 7. So the Lord spoke to me in my journaling process. And he said, what did I tell you to do? And I said, forgive 7 times 70. He goes, okay, so have you done that? And I said, yeah. And he goes, today? And I'm like, oh, is this a daily, like, thing? Like, it didn't. And I went back to scripture. I'm like, looking, like, did he say daily? Like, what? I need the terms here. And so God was like, if it need be, is what he told me. If it need be, 70 times 7. If it need be for that hour, if it need be for that day, if it need be for that week, whatever need be, your job is to forgive. That's really ultimately what he's saying. And I said, forgive me, God. And he said, you're not in unforgiveness. What you are is you're hurting right now. And you just need to release it to me so I can heal your heart. And he just began this beautiful process of loving on me and taking care of me in that moment. You see, God cares about you just as much as he cares about the one that you need to forgive. All right? All right, how do I forgive? You have to identify with what you're dealing with. This brings me into my point that sometimes what you think might be unforgiveness is actually just hurt. And the Lord has really had to show me this through relationships and processes, that you have released that person, you have loved them, and you can be fine even being around them, maybe even, like, unless they're, like, it's an unhealthy situation. But if it's, you know, you can be in the same room, you can enjoy them, you can actually have a great time with them, they come to the family party, and you're like, that was great, right? But at the same time, sometimes we don't release our hurt. So what are we dealing with? What is going on in your heart? And you can identify that. And the only way to identify that is in prayer. And that's where you have to be honest and go, okay, God, what am I feeling? Because I'm feeling frustrated. I'm feeling like maybe there's unforgiveness. There's been times where he showed me and he said, there's unforgiveness. You got to fix that. You got to heal that. You got to pray that out. And I'm like, okay, so I get right. But then there's been times that he's like, no, you're just hurt. And that hurt is something the enemy loves to twist. He loves to use. He loves to turn back into unforgiveness again. And he likes then to turn it into a root of bitterness. So you've got to catch the hurt and go, I release the hurt, and God, heal the hurt, heal the pain. And Lord, I just release again and I love again. And I release again and I love again. And you know what? And you just begin to let the Spirit of God fall on your heart and begin to mend your heart. He's the one that built your heart. He's the one that created your heart. He knows exactly how to fix it. He knows exactly how to tie all the strings back up. And he knows exactly how to move you on to a new place. Okay? So God loves you so much that he doesn't want to leave you behind, but you have to identify what's really going on in your life to be able to learn how to forgive. Journaling is another process of this. So sometimes, I know that I talk way faster. I don't know about you guys, but I talk way faster than I can get things out. So sometimes my thoughts go way faster than I can talk. And sometimes I can tell Dan is like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, what did I say out loud? Because in my head, I just, like, planned the whole day and then the whole week and told him everything. And he's like, one thing at a time, please, because I'm not keeping up, right? And so I wonder if we do that with God. So we need to identify these things in our lives, but sometimes we've got to settle our spirit, man, and you got to go put yourself away. Remember, I used to talk about that. You got to put yourself away. Go and get into a closet. Go hide in the bathroom, mamas, if you got to. Do what you got to do to have some alone time. Dan would used to say, I'm taking the kids. You're going to go pray. Because I was snapping. I was losing it. I was like, this is crazy, you know. And he'd be like, you need to be with Jesus because I don't even know how to help you. And honestly, I'm grateful for a man that did that. And so maybe they don't know to do that. So guess what? Go home and tell them. That's what we're going to start doing. Okay, so when you see that I'm tapped out, I need you to take the kids for an hour and let me go pray. I don't need to go get my nails done. I don't need to go get my hair done. You know what I need to do? I need to go get on my knees, and I need to go ask God to refill me. I need to go and get into the presence and just listen to worship music and journal some things out, okay? So can we make this a new priority in our lives, girls? Okay, all right, third thing in learning how to forgive. Do your part, guess what, with no expectations. My mom has been saying this, and it's wonderful. No expectations, no disappointments. Like, I'm just going to love because that's what I'm called to do. Not because I expect something in response, not because I expect an apology back, not because that is what should happen, but if what should happen doesn't happen, I'm okay. Because I know that I'm right before God. And I know that I'm right in my heart, and I know that I've done my part in the situation, okay? So go to your brother. This may be, like, in your journal. There's been many times the Lord has showed me things, and he's like, you need to go talk to this person. I'm like, whoa, I didn't even realize that's how that came across. But I need to go and have a conversation. Some of you are afraid of conflict. Like, you will avoid it at all costs. But when you avoid conflict, you allow the devil to come in and manipulate the situation, and it turns into something it never was intended to be. So if you can just get bold enough to say, hey, I think maybe I hurt you in this situation. I was in a situation where I felt like the person was kind of coming at me and jabbing at me. And if you know this person, they do that. And I'm usually on my game, right? Like, I have something to say back. But this time, I felt like they took it a little too far. And I felt like I needed to defend the people they were talking about to me because I loved them. And so I went into an explanation of why what they were saying wasn't, like, exactly the truth. And in that, I think I offended them. And so there was a comparison thing going on wrong, right? Totally wrong of me. And so, but I was in a rush, and I walked away from that situation. I'm like, ooh, they didn't respond well. I must have done something. So I went back, and I just started trying to call them. Of course, they don't answer the phone, you know, how convenient. So I can't make it right. I'm one of those people like, let's make it right now, you know, because I don't want the devil to have any room. And so I couldn't make it right. So I started texting. I blew them up, all of them, like everyone that was in the room. Like, this is what I was wrong, and I'm sorry, and do you forgive me for saying it like that? This is actually what I meant by that, not how it came out. Do you forgive me? You know what the response was? Okay. I was like, what? How about I'm sorry, too, that I made you feel that way? Right? And so they're like, God was like, no, no, no. That's not apology if you expect a response. You apologize and expect nothing back because you did your part. Okay, so sorry, God. So then the other person texts back, no apology. Nope. But you know what? The next time when I got that other text, I was like, whatever, it's cool. I saw them at church. We were all good. I was like, whatever. All right, cool. And I realized, like, I may not always get what I think I should get. But I'm okay because I know that before God, I did my part. And I knew that I did what was right. And listen to me, that was pleasing to him. Not was pleasing to me. There's been times, girls, I'm giving you lots of examples of things, okay? There was times that something happened and I was like, what is going on? I don't know what's going on. One time I was talking to my mom about something. And she goes, you know, have you ever thought about maybe you should just go to that person if they're acting weird towards you and just ask if there's anything you've done to hurt them? And I'm like, oh, no, I didn't think that I did hurt them. I was totally oblivious to myself. You know, none of us are, right? Because we're all perfect, right? So I went to the person and I'm like, did I do something to hurt you? And in this case, they were like, no, why do you think that? And we had a really great conversation and it was very healthy and it was wonderful. But then there was another situation that I thought, oh, I'm going to do the same thing that my mom told me to do. So I was thinking that it was going to be the same outcome as the first one. And I sat in that room and they blasted me. And it was like, wow, this sucks. Like, okay, what am I going to do with this? A mature person says that there has to be some truth in this. And then I need to fix some things because I'm coming across a certain way that I don't want to come across. But then there's also judgment going on in this. And I had to decipher, like, oh, that's judgment, but that can be true, and I do need to fix that. And the Lord had to help me work through that. I did that through prayer. I did that through journaling. I did that through talking to other people that knew me well enough to say, yeah, when you do that, it does come across this way. And I was like, oh, gosh, okay, I want to change that about me. And I went on a mission to change, okay? And so forgiveness sometimes is to make peace with all men as much as you can. There's a verse that says that. Now, it doesn't mean that they're going to be at peace with you, but it means that you at least did your part. Okay, girls? So we're going to do our part. We're going to walk in love. We're going to put ourselves out there to bring peace to a situation that would otherwise be chaotic and divisive because the enemy cannot work in those circumstances. There's a story. I thought this story was beautiful. You ready? Sunday night, Anna and I had come home from church. The kids had gone to prepare for bed, Anna to the kitchen to get a snack, and I to the bedroom to change into something more relaxing. And the phone rang. It was Joe. Hi, guys, he greeted us brightly as Anna and I both had picked up the phone simultaneously. This was back in the day when they had phones connected to the walls, guys. And people could both be on the phone at the same time. Okay, just for the younger generation, it's like, how does that even work? Okay. Okay, so Anna and I both picked up the phone simultaneously, and he didn't take long to get to the point. Jack, Anna, I just wanted to call you both tonight because I felt that you'd want to know, to be the first to know among all of you that I got saved tonight, that I came back to the Lord. Wow, you'd think on the other end of that I'd be happy. He paused and almost shouted, I came back to the Lord today. I came back to the Lord today. And as he was shouting, we started weeping and we were laughing and we were praising all at the same time. We visited for some time on the phone, concluding the conversation. It was a holy reunion, and the throne of God was happy. They were celebrating his salvation. Hold on, my iPad did something. When we visited for some time, heaven was rejoicing. But I started searching my heart, and I prayed this prayer, Lord, could it be that my unrecognized attitude, judging Joe because he rejected me. See, this guy had corrected him. Tried to get him saved, and he rejected Joe. Joe was hurt by this. And he said that I'd rejected him and that somehow that bound me away from a spiritual breakthrough until I had become forgiving and loving and prayerful. I didn't receive an answer until later when I discovered in the text of Matthew, the servant and the debtor's prison. I released each person that is responsible for his own relationship with God as I realized that it isn't my call or my mission to impose guilt on you if you have failed somewhere and succumbed to unforgiveness the way that I had. But you and I are both mutually responsible to take the gospel to nations and to people who will never know Christ unless someone accepts the responsibility to reach them. If we do, they will be saved. If we don't, .. if the question remains in the mission of the world and evangelism. Perhaps it's equally true that forgiveness only flows where God can find forgiven people to dispense it. That seems to be exactly what Jesus says. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. They are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained, John 20:23. The message, no, the mandate to become forgivers as we have been forgiven. It's absolutely for us as disciples of Jesus. You and I are called to never withhold a largeness of attitude or forgiveness of spirit towards anyone else. Jesus wouldn't want it, and the Joes of this world can't live without it. We have to walk in love. We have to forgive. You see, girls, it's important for you to forgive and me to forgive on a daily basis. So I wanted to, there's a little card on your chair, and I wanted to give this to you. I'm going to read two of these prayers, okay? One prayer says, Lord, I come to ask you for forgiveness where I have been guilty of offending others, where I have hurt people without even knowing it. If there is restitution you would have me make, or people whose forgiveness I need to ask, bring that discernment clearly to me now and open the door of healing between us. Let grace and mercy you show to me be multiplied upon those whom I have wounded, mistreated, overlooked, or failed to defend. Teach me to walk in a path of righteousness for your name's sake. Cleanse me of unrighteousness and fill my heart with your peace. In Jesus' name, I pray. On the back is another prayer. Lord Jesus, you know me altogether. You know that I have steadily refused to forgive the one who has wronged me, yet have had an audacity often to seek you for forgiveness of my own wrongdoings. The acids of bitterness and a vengeful spirit have threatened to eat away at my peace. Yet I have stubbornly rationalized every unloving motive. I have said I am clearly in the right, and I am only human to dislike a few people. This one deserves no forgiveness. Hell well I know that neither have I ever deserved the forgiveness which you have always freely granted me. So, Lord Jesus, I ask you now for the grace to forgive this hurt. And, Lord, I give it to you, this emotion, this resentment to which clings as if glued to my heart. Take it from me. Cleanse me of every petty thought. For these great mercies, I thank you. In Jesus' name, who gave me the supreme example of forgiving even those who killed you. Amen. I wanted you to have these. Put them in your Bibles. If you don't know how to pray the forgiveness prayer, this could be a guideline. Start here, girls. Start here, okay? And then out of that will flow more. And the Holy Spirit will reveal more to you, okay? Did you get something from the Word today? Beautiful. So grateful.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.